My name is Helen Manson, and this morning's reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, starting from chapter 2, verse 17, and reading through to chapter 3, verse 11. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will all glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labours might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you.
Hi everyone, my name's Rick and I'm one of the elders here in Carnmoney. And over the last month we've been journeying through the book of 1 Thessalonians as part of our New Normal series. And we've been learning from how these early Christians responded to having their society turned completely upside down. And we're going to think today about how God had been faithful to them in difficulty and also gave them a new perspective for their present circumstances and for their future reality as well. I can remember on a summer's day about 11 years ago, Sarah and I were walking through Central Park in New York on our honeymoon. And we were enjoying the heat and the atmosphere of a glorious sunny day. We were strolling around in shorts and t-shirts. All of a sudden, a few gusts of winds began to slowly blow through, and almost immediately, I noticed stall holders and buskers pack up their things. Without consultation or any announcement, everyone seemed to move simultaneously. The artist stopped drawing, the buskers stopped playing, and within literally just a few minutes, the whole street had been cleared. We continued strolling along in our shorts and t-shirts, and I decided to stop with one of the stall holders to ask him what on earth was going on. In very broken English, he said two words to me: storm coming. The reality of an approaching storm seemed pretty hard to comprehend and difficult to imagine. And yet just 10 minutes later, we were running full pelt up Fifth Avenue with the rain coming down, bouncing off of pavements as we tried to take shelter in some shops, or at least that was Sarah's excuse anyway. We were completely unprepared, and yet the locals were ready. It was normal for them, thanks to their perspective and thanks to their preparation. Preparation and perspective. These are two words that I want to focus on this morning as we look at the chapter of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. Let me just read a few verses for us to remind us of these words. Paul writes, "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid in some way that the tempter had tempted you, and that our labours might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. Preparation and perspective. You see, it's clear that Paul had prepared the Thessalonians for opposition and even suffering. In verse 4, he writes this, "When we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted." You see, Paul was warning them that there was a storm coming. And he was doing this, in the words of verse 3, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials, for we are destined for them. Did you catch that? We are destined for trials. There's a storm coming. We need to prepare ourselves that in this world where we will face hardship and suffering and maybe even some form of persecution. It's not a popular idea for us to consider, but it's an important reality. You see, Paul was teaching the Thessalonians that it's not a question of if a storm comes, but it's a question of when the storm comes. Christian discipleship means that our lives will be disrupted. Hardship, suffering, and persecution, they're not possibilities for the Christians. They're promises. We should expect it, maybe even embrace it. But sadly, somewhere along the line, some Christians have believed the lie that following Jesus means that they won't get shaken. Just at the start of lockdown, I was watching the news one evening, and I saw a news report of some Christians in America who were defying lockdown to continue meeting in their places of worship. The news reporter stopped one of them as they were entering the place of worship and asked them what they were doing or why they were doing it. And one woman responded that because she was covered in Jesus' blood, no harm could come her way. She had pretty bad theology, but also she mustn't have read these words of Paul, that believers were destined for trials. Her eternal future might be secure, but her earthly safety has never been guaranteed. The YouVersion Bible app recently released some research about the Bible verses that have been most highlighted and shared in their app. I wonder, can you guess the top Bible verse? It was Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." It's a well-known verse, but it's often the most misquoted or misunderstood. It's the kind of verse that ends up on fridge magnets with a picture of a sunset or a kitten beside it. Before an A-level exam, I got texted this verse. But what if I thought to myself, well, God's got good plans for me, therefore I'm going to pass this exam. And then what if I didn't? Well, either God's plans aren't that good, or he doesn't really care for me. When I was a youth worker, I often heard things like this from young people. Things like, well, I used to believe in God, and then my granny died. Or I used to think God was real, and then I got depression. Or I was once a Christian, but if God loved me, then he wouldn't let me go through these hard times. It's so important to realize that following Jesus doesn't make us immune from trouble. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." We need to grasp that the presence of a storm doesn't mean the absence of a savior. Following Jesus comes with a cost. Discipleship is fraught with difficulty. Storms come. And trusting in Jesus doesn't make us immune from those storms, but it gives us a sure footing when they come. And this was what Paul was trying to help these Thessalonians understand. He wrote to them in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 3, "In all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you're standing firm in the Lord." I love this picture of standing firm in Christ, not ultimately because our feet are really strong, but because our foundation is secure when we know and trust in Jesus. We don't stand firm because of our ability or our intellect or our efforts. We stand firm because we are held by an all-powerful God and an all-encompassing Savior. The storm might be hard, but he is still good. Corrie ten Boom, the famous missionary to the Jews, once said that you don't get off a train when it's in a tunnel. You trust the driver to bring you through it. And so too with God. In times of uncertainty and anxiety, you can trust the driver to bring you through. He is our non-anxious presence in these days. And while we can't choose our season, and we would never choose the storm, we can still choose our song in the midst of that storm. So whatever your season or storm right now, what's your current song? As the famous hymn puts it, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Just a few weeks ago, there was a sense of anxiety and fear in our society. People could no longer rely on the normal things that they had once sought security in. And perhaps as Christians in a time of crisis, our reliance on God grew. But I think there's a danger now as we enter the new normal that we become reliant on other things and begin to lose sight of God. But it's grace that has brought us this far, and it's grace that will lead us home. Throughout this chapter, Paul is reminding the Thessalonians to be prepared for trials, to not be unsettled by difficulty, to stand firm in the Lord, and to let their love overflow. And the same challenges remain for us as we enter this new normal. We should be prepared for trials, not unsettled by difficulty, to stand firm in God and to let our love overflow. For me, this idea is captured so well in a story told by author Jess Connolly, who once found herself in the eye of a devastating hurricane. This is what she wrote. I've learned that when you have a rock-solid spiritual foundation, others can come and find respite and relief. Our house is a big old brick one, and it doesn't flood, so all our people came in and we played games while the storms raged. I want my life to be like that too. I want to be so rooted in Jesus, so firm in who he's made me to be, that others can look outside the windows of what's happening in my life, see the storm, and still feel safe. I only know one path to that kind of security, she writes, remaining in Jesus. Actually reading the Bible, actually praying, worshiping and staying close to him. But there's extra reason to do these things. As if joy, peace and hope wasn't enough, I want to share the solid rock identity I have been offered in Jesus. What if you could help others find rescue and refuge while their storms rage? To stand firm, we need to be prepared, but we also need to have a new perspective. You see, it's important that before we rush to see the positives, we take time to dwell in the pain. This had been a really painful and distressing time for the Thessalonians. They had been treated with suspicion, accused of defying the trends of the day. They had been alienated within their culture and society. They had experienced persecution, and to top it all off, they had been separated from Paul and his fellow apostles. And Paul doesn't try to minimize their pain. In verse 7, he describes their distress and pain. And Paul himself was feeling that pain himself from being separated from the people that he loved. We know about this right now, don't we? We are experiencing this similar pain. Separation is hard. It's hard between the people of God. And while there's no square inch of this world that God's presence cannot invade, there is no doubt of the special significance in the gathering of God's people. It's tough in these days to not be able to gather together. I miss it. We lament it. Let's treasure that opportunity and prioritize it when we return. And so having the right perspective isn't about bypassing or minimizing pain, but about facing the challenges of our lives with a realistic but certain hope. Through these trials, the Thessalonians hadn't lost hope. Through their pain, they had actually gained a new perspective. It wasn't a perspective that God had abandoned them, but actually that God was with them more than ever. They understood that the trials they endured weren't a sign of God's rejection of them, but actually evidence of his dependability in uncertain days. He hadn't forgotten about them, but actually he was continuing to be faithful to them. Persecution had actually helped the Thessalonians to see this more. And this idea is backed up when we witness the strength of believers or the growth of the church in nations that experience extreme persecution, where despite restrictions and in spite of limitations, the church continues to expand and grow. There's something about the battle that builds endurance. There's something about the furnace that strengthens faith. There's something about trials that teach us to rely on God. In difficulty, would your faith flounder or would it flourish? What perspective do you have? Having heard about their difficult situation, Paul had sent Timothy both to encourage the Thessalonians, but also to bring Paul a report of how they were doing. And the report that Timothy brought back was that they were flourishing in their faith. Verse 6, Timothy has just now come to us from you and brought good news about your faith and love. Verse 7, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. Paul was encouraged that actually they weren't floundering in their faith, but they were flourishing. And I wonder if we too can point to that in these days. In moments of deep anxiety and difficulty, more people, we're told, are turning to prayer. At a time where churches can't gather, community is still being built. In a time of global crisis, many are still turning to Jesus. It's about perspective. What perspective do you have for the things going on in your life or in this world? One that blames God? One that downplays pain? Or one that trusts in the faithfulness of God and seeks his presence? What if in these days we didn't just flounder in our faith, but we flourished? What if rather than panicking, we prayed? What if in a time of anxiety, we discovered afresh God's peace? What if rather than binging on box sets, we buried ourselves in the Bible? What if instead of singing praise in a building, we encountered God and his presence in our homes? What if rather than withdrawing to become insular, we found fresh courage in our witness? What if we didn't just flounder? What if we flourished? It was true for these Thessalonians, and the same can be true for us. Paul's words brought encouragement, hope, and a new perspective to these embattled Christians, and how we need a fresh perspective. The last time I preached a sermon in this church was just over 3 months ago. On that Sunday, in early March, I shared some of the headlines of a brand new strategy that we were freshly launching as a church. It had been months of work and something we as leaders felt was really significant for our next steps. It felt there was momentum as we shared the all-in vision and our goals of going deeper as disciples, growing closer as family, and reaching wider in witness. And we were ready to share with you details about our 9 key practices and about our 8 new ministry areas. And we were waiting delivery of 2,000 booklets that detailed the strategy in more detail and depth. Those 2,000 booklets arrived at our church building the week of lockdown, and they still sit in the office of our minister. And while I might have felt frustration, I mostly felt stupid. Because the truth was, we were trying to launch a strategy to look forward for the next 5 years. Yeah, we didn't even know what was going to happen in the next 5 days. But I've realized that rather than having to wait until everything somehow returns to normal before we step into this strategy, I have instead come to realize that it actually needs to be the way that we respond to this time and season as a church. It's about perspective. So we have begun to see the goals of being all in and going deeper and growing closer and reaching wider as the lens that we view everything through. Maybe these days are bringing a fresh perspective to us about what makes a good and healthy church. Are we a healthy church because we have impressive facilities? Are we a healthy church because we have a full timetable of programs? Are we a healthy church because we have hundreds of people who gather on a Sunday? Well, actually, right now, none of those things are available to us. So does that make us ineffective? No. Because thankfully, the health of a church isn't found in the attendance, the buildings, or the cash, but in the strength of its disciples. And if that's true for a church, it's also true for individual believers too. How can we bring a Christ-like perspective and prepare to stand firm as his followers in these days? But finally and briefly, I want you to see the person. It strikes me that when Paul saw these believers in difficulty, he didn't send them a physician, a philosopher, or a politician. He sent them a person, in this case, Timothy. And that should be a lesson for us in our mission. And something that Michael touched on, by the way, a couple of Sundays ago, that when we see hopelessness and helplessness, are we prepared to go ourselves? But it should also sound familiar and remind us of a God who saw the hopelessness and helplessness of his people. And rather than sending us a physician, a philosopher, or a politician, he sent us a person, his son, to become our savior. Max Lucado writes this: if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a savior. What perspective do you have at this time? Are you prepared for trials? And are you standing firm on the strong foundation that is Jesus Christ? If not, why don't you turn to him afresh, and maybe for the first time, to admit your weakness, to acknowledge your insecurity, and confess your need of a savior? Only Jesus can help you stand firm in the storm, both now and to come. Only Jesus can give you the new perspective that we all need. This is my story. I wonder if it can be yours too. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. It's about perspective. It's about preparation. And to close, I want to use the words of the last three verses of this passage as a prayer over your life this morning. Paul prays for three things for these embattled Christians: that their love would increase, that their hearts would be strengthened, and that they would be blameless and holy. And I want to pray those things over us as a church today. So wherever you're watching this from right now, why don't you join me in making this your prayer right now? Let's pray. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen.